Hey, everybody, and welcome to the You Belong podcast. I'm your host, Aaron Argo, and I'm so glad that you've joined us today because I want you to know that you belong here. No matter what your past or what you've been through, God brought you here for a reason, and we believe that He has a plan and a purpose for your life. Now, let's jump straight into the message, and I pray that God both inspires and encourages you through this word today.
A quick message with you, and I say quick, and you know what that means, right? Absolutely nothing. Okay. No, seriously, I want to give you fair warning, though. I want to give you fair warning. Number one, I don't blink, because I do believe this is going to go fast. Because it's not a deep, heavy word, but it's a word that I think we all need to hear. It's a word that I believe that God really wants us to hear, so don't blink. But also, it's something that I want us to be aware of today. It's something that's deeply personal to me, very personal to me. The reason why is because it comes from a personal devotion that I had some time ago that God really spoke to me in. And if you want to go ahead and turn to the chapter, it's in John chapter 1. John chapter 1. If you don't know where John is, you've got the new book of the New Testament begins. You got Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is the fourth gospel. It is right before the book of Acts, where all of us Pentecostals seem to land a lot of times, because we're all about the screaming and shouting and spitting and snorting and all that kind of stuff. And that's what they do a lot of in Acts. And God knows we need some more of that in this world. Amen. But it's right in between the gospels. The synoptic gospels and the book of Acts, which is the book of the church. John chapter 1. Now, they always tell pastors and speakers, talk about what you know. That's why I talk about food a lot. That's why I talk about white powdered donuts. That's why I talk about fishing. That's why I talk about music a lot. That's because those are things that I really know. There are things that I understand. This message, whatever the message is, it has to speak to the pastor. It has to speak to the teacher. It has to speak to us first before we can convey that message to you. So I want you to know this message is one that God has already spoken to me. He's already slapped me around and stomped on my toes and gotten on my case. But He's also healed my wounds and lifted me up and strengthened me when I was weak. Because God's not a God that just tears down. God is a God that rebuilds. Let me say that again, because that's not even in the notes, and that's good. God's not a God that tears you down. He is a God that rebuilds you the way you were made to be. I used to love Legos. And I would make some weird stuff. I've told y'all a story about that before, where I tried to remake the entire Six Flags Over Georgia with Legos. It didn't look nothing like it. But I tried. But God, sometimes we try to make our life or make what we think our life needs to look like, and God says, no, let me remake you a little bit. You see, the scripture that I'm going to be using, I've used before in speaking to you guys. Speaking to this church. It hasn't been on a Sunday. It's been on a Wednesday night. It was back on a Wednesday night in November of 2021. It was what I shared this scripture with a larger portion of text. And no, the meaning has not changed. The message is still the same within the words. Amy sent me a video of a comedian the other day. I was talking about pastors and how hard a pastor's job was. And he was joking around about how hard it was. He said, you know, I realize how hard it is for a pastor to do his job. And everybody was like, well, what's so hard about it? He said, well, the reason why it's hard is you got to think, it's sort of like school. This pastor or this teacher, whoever it is, they've got to stand up there and do a book report every week. Out of the same book. That's not easy. Listen, I hated book reports in school. Now I do it for a living. That's weird, y'all. God has a messed up sense of humor sometimes. If you don't believe me, take a look at the person next to you. No, I'm joking. I'm joking. Just hang on. Hang on. I need to watch myself today. I'm in a good mood and the Spirit is moving. I want you to listen today, though, because today it's not about dealing with people, but it's about what we do on Sundays. It's about today. I want to bring you my book report. Are you ready for my book report? It's on a portion of Scripture at the very beginning of Jesus' ministry, but it is found in John chapter 1. I'm going to give you the background of this. There's in John chapter 1, it's talking about John the Baptist. Now, John the Baptist did not write John, okay? John, the Gospel of John was written by one of the disciples named John, who was also called the Beloved. And John the Baptist, it was a man that he was actually Jesus' cousin. He was, I forget how many months older than Jesus was. He was about a year older, somewhere around there, a little less than a year. But he went out, and John the Baptist said, "I am but a voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord." And he prepared the way for Jesus to come. Because people would ask him, "Are you the Messiah?" He said, "Absolutely not. There is one that comes after me that is so much greater than I am. I am not even worthy to untie his sandals as a slave. I couldn't even do that." But John the Baptist is sitting there and he is baptizing people left and right. People are coming from all around out in the wilderness. He dressed weird. He looked weird. He smelled weird. He wore camel's hair clothes. He had a leather belt. He wore the garments of a prophet. He ate locusts and honey. How would you like that to be your diet? Listen, I want to be holy, but I don't think I want to be that holy. I like my pizza. I like my donuts. I like my steak. That kind of stuff. But the thing is, he's out there and he's baptizing people. And all of a sudden, he looks up and he sees this man coming. And it's his cousin, Jesus. And he looks and he goes, "Behold, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." And after he said it, you know, he had followers himself. After he said it, two of his followers said, "Well, if he's the Lamb, we catch you on the flip side, man. We gone." And they got up and they started following Jesus. And Jesus turned around and said, "Wait a minute. Whoa, what do you guys want?" And they said, "Where are you staying tonight? Because we want to come and hang with you. We want to spend some time with you. We want to talk with you. We want to hear your teachings today." And they said, "Listen, just come and see. Come and find out where I'm at." So they followed Jesus and they spent the night listening to Jesus, and it impacted them so much that it caused a reaction. That experience revealed purpose in those two people's lives. You know, when you have a true experience with God, which is one of the things we try to do as we make disciples, we want you to experience God. We want you to experience Him in the worship. Wasn't the worship good today? The presence of God was just strong this morning. We want you to experience God in the worship. We want you to experience God in the handshake that you receive when you walk through the doors. We want you to experience God in the conversations that you have around the table as you're drinking your coffee. We want you to experience God as we get up here to share the Word and as the Word is read. We don't want it just to bounce off the walls, go in your ears, come out, and then you go home and leave changed. We want you to have such an experience that it leaves you changed. Somebody say changed. He pointed, and the thing is, he pointed to Jesus, said this, these two men followed him, and that experience that they had listening to him changed their lives and gave them purpose. How do we know that? Because it says it in John chapter 1, verses 40 through 42. It says, "One of the two heard John speak and followed Jesus was Andrew." One of the two who heard John speak and followed Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. Go ahead and go to that next slide. He first found his own brother, Simon, and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which means Christ. See, that right there shows that this encounter that Andrew had with Jesus impacted him in such a mighty way that he had to tell somebody. He had to go and share it with somebody. Today is a very simple story. Today is a very simple message about meeting Jesus. How many of you are ready to meet Jesus? It's about meeting Jesus. And that's my title of my message today. Meeting Jesus. Most followers and disciples can remember the moment that they met Jesus. I remember the day that I gave my life to Jesus and that I accepted Him as Savior of my life. And when I do something, I do it all the way. I'm an all or nothing, all in or nothing, all or nothing guy. If I'm gonna play guitar, I'm gonna play guitar. If I'm gonna play ball, I'm gonna play ball. If I'm gonna eat, I'm gonna eat. Y'all just remember that when y'all take me out to eat. I'm gonna eat. But most followers can remember, most of you in this room can probably remember the song that was played, maybe even the message that was preached, or you can remember who prayed with you. You can remember the moment that you received the baptism and the Holy Spirit. I remember at camp when God impacted me in such a mighty way. I remember God moving in me in such a way to call me when I was just a young boy to be in ministry. And that He wanted me to stand and do this all day long. Why me? I don't know, because I trip over myself and I fumble and I bumble and I'm not perfect. But God doesn't care whether you're perfect or not. He just cares whether you're willing. Are you with me? I'm getting ahead of myself. See, I want to talk to you about three men. Really, it's only two men that met Jesus in this story that I want to talk about. This is not a fancy, deep theological message that is going to blow the lid off of some major revelation for a lot of people. It's not something that I'm going to reveal hidden secrets that are hidden in the Bible that you've never seen before. It's not something like that. But what it is it is a reminder. It's a reminder because, see, in my personal devotion, when I read this some time ago, God used this scripture to remind me of two things about me. First thing He reminded me about was that he sort of told me, "You're an Andrew." I sort of shook my head and I was like, okay, I'm an Andrew? How am I an Andrew? How am I an Andrew, God? See, I have a problem with good news. I'm not good at keeping good news a secret. I just can't do it. When Amy and I found out that she was pregnant with my first child, my daughter Shelby, I can tell you where we were. We were in Okeechobee, Florida. I was a youth and children's pastor down there. And it was the first night that my wife had ever tried deer meat. That's awesome. It was so good. But the thing is, I remember I was standing there cooking some deer tenderloin. And, yeah, everybody right now, everybody's mouth is going. But I was standing there cooking. And my wife came around the corner of the kitchen in our little apartment, our little two-bedroom apartment. She said, "I got some news." And I said, "What's that?" And she held up the stick. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And I'm like, "Ah!" Yes, I screamed like a girl. I was so excited, y'all. We hadn't really been trying to have kids. It's just sort of said, "Well, if it happens, it happens. If it don't, it don't." But the thing is, as soon as well, anyway, we're going to go on. But all of a sudden, it got really hot up in here. But she got pregnant, and I automatically wanted to call everybody. I wanted to talk to everybody. Anybody else like that? I was that way. I wanted to call my parents. I wanted to call my in-laws. I even wanted to call my in-laws. That tells you how excited I was. Love y'all guys. But I wanted to call everybody I could. I wanted to call my second grade teacher. I didn't care who it was. I wanted them to know what was going on. I got excited. And I can't hold a secret. It's sort of like at Christmas, and my son can testify to this. I am horrible about keeping presents a secret. Because I tend to drop hints without even knowing I'm dropping hints. I'll go buy something that I think my wife wants or that my son wants. And then 3 days later, I'll ask him, "Hey, what do you think of this?" And I'll name what I bought. I'm not the smartest person in the world sometimes, y'all. Andrew was like this. He met Jesus. But then all of a sudden, he couldn't hold it to himself. I like to bring people into my joy. I was joking with the guys down here. Just a few minutes ago, our teenagers. Can we give our teenagers a hand? Let's just admit it. I'm a big kid in an adult's body. I still play video games, and I was telling them about a win that I got on a video game the other day. It was the best game I'd ever had. I had to tell them And they celebrated with me. They're like, yeah, really? Yeah. Oh, PA's cooking over there, man. Is it? No. Did I use that term right? Okay, I want to make sure. I just looked at him and said, listen, I know I'm a dork, but that's okay. But the thing is, I had to share it with him. Andrew had the same problem in our scripture. He had a problem keeping things to himself. He and his buddy were standing together listening to John while watching him baptize people in a river. And he would take them out. I baptize you. Boom. Baptize you. Boom. Baptize you. And he looks up and says, there comes the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And all of a sudden they go, really? Well, if that's such good news, I need to go and find out what's going on. So they walk over to Jesus and they say, listen, where are you going? It says in John chapter 1, verses 37 through 39, the two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. Jesus turned and saw them following and said to them, what are you seeking? And they said to him, Rabbi, which means teacher, where are you staying? He said to them, come and you will see. So they came and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. They stayed with him all night and let him teach them all night. The next morning, something happened inside of Andrew. He was changed. He had to tell somebody. See, my first encounter with Jesus, my encounter with God, when he really changed my life and I decided I was going to live for him for all of my life, when I was 16, when he got a hold of me in a church service in Bessemer First Assembly right around this area over here, that first night he grabbed a hold of my heart. It changed what I wanted in my life. No longer did I want the sin that I was always craving and chasing after. No longer did I chase after the things of this world. No longer did I want fame and fortune or anything of that. I didn't want the popularity. I didn't want none of that. I began to chase after him with everything that I had. I realized nothing in this world would ever match up to anything that he offered me. My life changed when I met Jesus. Can anyone testify that you are the same? Come on, give him praise. And see, a true experience with God never gets old. I think back to that day and I still get goosebumps. I think back to when I was baptized in the Holy Spirit with evidence of speaking in tongues and I'm like, yes. I think back to the first person I ever prayed a salvation prayer with. I remember him, he was my next door neighbor. I was like, and this was when I was in children's church, because we all know that teenagers have brain damage and we walk away from God sometimes, right? I said teenagers have brain damage. The teenagers over going, what? Y'all agree? But the thing is, I remember those things. It changed my life. It will cause you, when you have an experience with God, it will cause you to walk different, talk different, act different, seek to experience him again and again and again and again. I couldn't get enough of church when I gave my life to Jesus. Every time the doors were open, I don't care if it was a prayer meeting, I don't care if it was a children's event, I loved going to kids' crusades because I got to be a kid and an adult at the same time. I got to praise God while laughing at puppets. Hey, come on, somebody, that's the whole world. But I remember all of those things. This is why new Christians and disciples are so full of energy and hunger for God. People that just meet Jesus, they get so hungry and they get so excited. And they're chomping at the bit, teach me something. Tell me about this. Tell me. And they will devour the Word of God. They will devour the presence of God. And they will make sure they're at every meeting. I don't care if it's a women's meeting. That young man will show up and he'll say, I just want to know Jesus. Are you with me? See, when we experience God, we develop a passion to spend time with him. But we also develop a passion to bring others to him. When you really experience God, something happens on the inside of you and you go, whoa, I got to tell somebody about this. I got to tell somebody about what I feel. I got to tell somebody about what he's doing in me. After experiencing the changing, inspiring, powerful words of Jesus, Andrew had to tell somebody. John chapter 1, verse 41. When he first found his own brother, Simon, and said to him, we have found the Messiah. The first thing he wanted to do was bring somebody to Jesus. The first thing he wanted to do was introduce somebody new to him. He immediately left and found Simon, his brother, and said, "You've got to come meet this guy. Because he is the one." He did even more than that. He didn't just go and find Simon. In verse 42, it tells us what he did. He brought Simon to him. You know, sometimes you've got to bring people and lead them to where Jesus is. There are some people that are searching already. There are some people that they're ready for the Word of God. They're ready for God to move in their lives. And you mentioned something about your church, or you mentioned something about your teacher on Wednesday night, or you mentioned something about your awesome pastor who does these great messages and talks about food all the time. Come on. And then all of a sudden they show up. They're like, "Dude, I got to hear these guys. I got to see what's going on." Because it's like the old Carmen song. Those of you that remember who Carmen is, I want some of that. I want some of that. So they go, I want some of that. But then there's others that are skeptical. Listen, give it a week and you'll be back to where you were. Give it some time and you'll calm down and you won't be as excited about this guy anymore. You won't be excited about the way God's moving in your life then. And let's see if it'll last. But the thing is, sometimes they may be skeptical, but we've got to bring them and put them in a position where they meet him themselves. Are you with me? We've got to bring them to Jesus. That's what Andrew did. In verse 42, it said that the Bible says that he brought him. That means to lead or to drive. See, that's the thing. We always talk about how we're sheep, okay? We are sheep, according to the Bible. You know why the Bible calls us sheep? A couple of reasons. Number one, sheep are dumb. Don't look at the person next to you and say, "That's you." Okay, don't do that. But sheep are dumb. They need to be led. They need to be led. They need someone to carve the path for them. They will sit and do the same. I once heard, I don't know if this is true or not, I don't have the studies or anything like that, but I once heard that a sheep is so dumb that if it walks around a boulder and walks to the other side, it will forget how to get back to the other side. You know, sometimes, and this is for free, sometimes we walk around a sin so much that we forget that there's no way away from it. Sometimes we walk around our attitude forgetting that the way that we need to get back to where Jesus is. That's for free. But see, he immediately left and found Simon. And he led him to Jesus. We're meant to bring people to Jesus, church. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. And I know y'all are thinking, "Pastor Aaron, you're a broken record. You preach on this a lot." That's fine. It's because I want to make sure you understand our mission. Our mission is not to fill a building. Our mission is not to make our name known. Our mission is not so that people will know who your pastor is or know how much you give in tithes and offerings. Our mission is not so that we have a great, beautiful edifice, this giant building that is gorgeous, and we got great sound system, which is sounding great in here already, that we've got this great music. That's not our goal. Our goal is not to introduce them to who I am, who you are, who our board is, or who our music is, or anything like that. Our mission is to introduce them to who Jesus is. Plain and simple. We're called to love people and to share with them the reason for our hope and our love. 1 Peter 3:15 says, "But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect." What that is saying is that when you walk around with your smile, with a smile on your face and joy in your heart, people are going to look at you like you're weird. And they're going to go, "Why are you so daggum happy in a world that is so broken?" She's going to preach my message for me, huh? They're going to ask you why. Why in the world are you so happy? Why do you have joy when all the world is falling apart? When all the political jargon that's going on, with all of the wars that are going on, with all the stuff that we have to deal with every single day, with all of this confusion that we have today, with all of the murder, with all of the hate, with all of the bitterness, with all the racism, with all the problems that we have today, how can you walk around with a smile on your face and say that you're happy? But the problem is, there's a lot of Christians that don't. They walk around like they've been sucking on a lemon wrapped in a pickle. My brother said, sounds good. No. But it puts a look on their face, and they come in church with that look.
That's right.
They walk out with that look. Not knowing that Jesus has new wine and new and fresh living water that they can wash their mouth out and feel the taste of the Holy Spirit and feel the presence of the Holy Spirit and wash them clean.
Let us drink, Father. Let us drink.
Church, come on.
Let us drink.
Gosh, I'm getting way off subject. I told y'all it was going to be quick. I may have to go to the altar for lying later. But listen. Everywhere in Scripture where there was an encounter with Jesus, it caused people to go and tell others about Him. The most prominent of which is found in John chapter 4, where a divine encounter at a well changed not only one woman that everyone in town hated, by the way.
Right.
Listen, it doesn't matter whether people approve of you or not. Jesus looks at you and says, I love you.
Thank you, God.
And I'll meet with you any day. But this encounter with this one woman, not only did it change that one woman, but it changed her entire region, because she looked and she said, come and see, come and look at this man, come and see this man in a place where everyone despised her, everyone hated her. She was going to the well at midday because none of the other women wanted to hang around with her, because she had been married so many different times, and the man that she was with at that moment was not her husband. She was looked at as a pariah. She was looked at as an outcast. She was looked at as someone that was dirty, someone that they didn't need to be around. So she avoided them so that she wouldn't get the stares. She wouldn't get the name calling. She wouldn't get the looks that she always got. So she would come in the afternoon, and this man looked at her and said, can I have some water? And she said, you're a Jew. I'm a Samaritan. You guys think we're dogs. We're half-breeds. Because there was a racism thing between them. She said, how can you ask me? And he looked at her and said, well, listen, if you knew who it was that was asking you for a drink, you would ask him for living water. And you would never thirst again. Well, that piqued her interest. She went, I'm tired of coming to this well. I'm tired of working. I'm tired of doing all this. Can I have some of this water? And then he said, go and get your husband. She said, well, I don't have a husband. And she wasn't lying. He said, you're right. You don't have a husband, but you've been married 5 times. And the man you're with now is not your husband. And then she got into the religious discussion with her. And she had an experience with God that changed her forever. Because as she walked away, she started shouting to the people, come and see a man who told me everything I ever did, and he still talked to me. He knows who I am, and he still talked to me. He knows what I'm doing, and he still talks to me. Come and see a man who knows me and still talks to me and told me everything that I had done. Where she automatically, in her encounter, started bringing people to Jesus. Can I challenge you with something today? Be an Andrew. Be an Andrew that goes and seeks out someone that needs to meet the Savior. I'm not talking about, and they ain't got to be the dregs of society or somebody that's horrible. Because God knows good people need to know Jesus too.
Everybody.
I want everybody to come to know Jesus. I don't care who we have come through these doors. They need to hear the Word of God. Drug addicts need to hear the Word of God. Alcoholics need to hear the Word of God. Those living alternative lifestyles need to hear the Word of God. Those that are confused about who they are need to hear the Word of God. Businessmen who are in the business world need to hear about the Word of God. School teachers need to hear about the Word of God. Co-workers need to hear about the Word of God. Teenagers and students at school need to hear about the Word of God. It doesn't matter who they are, how high up the social ladder they are, or how below the level they are. They all need Jesus. Be an Andrew and bring somebody to Jesus. Be an Andrew and bring someone to know Him. You don't have to understand the deep things of theology and the great mysteries of the Bible to tell me about your experience with Jesus. When they asked the man who was healed, he was lame and he was healed. They asked him, who did this and how? By what power did he do it? He said, I don't know anything. All I know is that he healed me. They asked the blind man, how is it that you can see now? He said, I don't know. All I know is that once I was blind, but now I can see. Because of an experience with one man. Church, are you with me? You just have to be looking for him to have that experience. Andrew simply looked at him and said, we found him. Come and see. So God told me I was an Andrew, but He also told me you are also a Simon. Now I got confused at that. So am I bringing myself to Jesus? What am I doing? See, Andrew brought his brother Simon. I don't know if you've noticed in the Bible, but Simon gets a little bit of a bad rap. He's a little bit of a bonehead. Are you with me? Have you ever noticed that? We don't really hear about the disciples' successes that much. We hear about their failures. We hear about their problems. We hear about their mess-ups. Everywhere in Scripture, see, when you look at what Simon did, he didn't always do things right. He made a lot of mistakes. He is used as a cautionary tale more than any other disciple in Scripture. I looked up just some of the things that Simon did. Here's a list of them. He kept kids away from Jesus in Mark chapter 10. That's a no-no. He sank into the water when Jesus said, come to me. He sank into the water in Mark chapter 14 when he stepped out on the water. He walked for a little bit, but he got his eyes off of Jesus and he failed, so he started sinking into the water. He argued with the rest of the disciples about who the greatest among them was in Mark chapter 9. He tries to build a temple on the mountain of the Mount of Transfiguration in Mark chapter 9. He tried to build temples there so that they would stay there and just stay away from the world so that they could worship just at that moment. He tried to do that and Jesus corrected him there. He corrected Jesus. You got to understand, how goofy do you have to be in order to think that you're going to correct Jesus on his thinking? The simple fact that he walked up to him and the first word out of Peter's mouth was, Master. If he's your master, then you obey him and you don't correct him. Are you with me? He made so many different mistakes. He refused to let Jesus wash his feet to begin with in John chapter 13. He falls asleep in the garden at the Garden of Gethsemane. He cut off a man's ear when it was not time for violence. Not to mention that he denied Christ three times just moments before Jesus was crucified. And he even left and abandoned the ministry in John chapter 21. He said, I'm done with this. I'm going fishing. It'd be easy to question God. See, when God said, you're a Simon, I went, wait a minute, Simon messed up a lot. He said, yeah. It'd be easy to question God. Why would you call him? Why in the world did you choose this loser to be one of your disciples? He has made mistake after mistake after mistake. It's not like he was only with Jesus for a short amount of time either. He wasn't a new convert. He failed in the garden after he'd been with Jesus almost 3 years, or approximately 3 years. In this moment, when Jesus met with Simon for the first time, when he was meeting Jesus chose Simon because he saw something no one else did. He saw something in him no one else saw. He didn't choose him because he was perfect, because he had everything figured out. In verse 42, it says, he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, you are Simon, the son of John. You shall be called Cephas. He chose him because of the purpose that he had for him. I'm going to explain that whole name change here in a minute. See, Jesus is omniscient. He's all-knowing. And he knew all the mistakes and the problems this man was brought to him was going to cause. He knew he was going to mess up. Yet he still chose him as one of his most trusted disciples. He validated his choice with a name change. Everywhere in Scripture where there's a name change that God gave somebody, it was a change of character. It was a change of purpose. It was a change that brought lasting change. Abram and Sarah were changed to Abraham and Sarah. They meant exalted father. Abram was changed from exalted father to father of multitude, Abraham. Sarah was meant princess. Jacob and Israel, Jacob meant deceiver and supplanter. His name was changed to one who strives and prevails with God. Simon was now called Cephas, or in the Greek it was called Peter. He was changed from one who hears to a rock. Now, some people would look at him and go, well, he just called me dumb as a rock. Well, sometimes he was. But that's not the context that it was used in. Jesus was looking forward to the destiny and the purpose that Simon had, a declaration that would come from his own mouth in Matthew 16, where it says this. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? This is Jesus speaking. And Simon Peter, of course, Simon, he's the brash. He's the bold one. He's the one with the big mouth. And he steps up and says, I know exactly who you are. He says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, which means son of John. For flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter. You are Cephas. And on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. It didn't mean that Peter was the rock, but it meant that the truth that he was speaking was the rock that he was going to build on. The fact that he was the Son of God, the fact that he was the one that was supposed to take away the sin of the world, the fact that he was the Almighty Son of God, that was the truth that he was going to build on. Jesus knew that Simon Peter would issue a foundational statement of who he was. That's why he called him Cephas. This name change was a reminder of that truth. It was to remind Peter that when everything else seems to shift around them, one thing would remain solid: the truth of who Jesus is and who Jesus had called Peter to be. Are you with me? When we were brought to Jesus, you and me, when we were brought to Jesus, he looked past who we were in that moment. I'm so glad Jesus did not see me for who I was when I went down to the altar. He didn't see me for that broken teenager who was running away from a call of God, and who had sown so many seeds of hate and dissent and problems in his own life that there are things that I have never told anybody in my life that I did. Amen. Jesus saw every one of them. I failed as much as Peter had, maybe even more. But Jesus looked at me and said, I still want you. I still want you. See, when you're meeting Jesus, he doesn't look at you as you are. He looks at you as what you can be, as what you should be. He looks at you as the creation of God that he planned before you were ever born. He sees you as that perfect creation that He wants you to be, and that His blood can provide for us. See, years ago when I stood in a church service, when Jesus looked at me, He saw all of my failings. He saw all of my fallings. He looked past my self-destructive habits, the insecurities that I had, and the selfish heart that beat within me. He said, "I don't care what you've done. I don't even care about the mistakes you're going to make in the future. I look at you and I see somebody I want on my team. I still want you." And that's what He's saying to us this morning. I still want you. Stand with me today. You are not here by accident today. You are meeting Jesus this morning. Some of you, God is dealing with your heart and He's trying to reignite a passion for the lost in you. It's time to share the good news about the one who has changed your life. Let the experience you have with God drive you not only to seek God, but to bring people to Him. See, some of us have lost the passion for the lost. We forget that we're supposed to bring people to Jesus. And we've been coming and just soaking in His presence. Don't be selfish with God. Find someone who needs Him. Everywhere we look today, people are searching for something. They search for it in sex. They search for it in drugs. They search for it in alcohol. They search for it in popularity. They search for it in money. They search for it in every aspect of life. And they search for meaning. You have the answer to what they search for. All we have to do is lead them to who He is. Some of you, God is pricking your heart and saying you need to reignite your passion for the lost and for His presence. Some of you, I'm just going to tell you real honestly, some of you, God wants to change your name today. God wants to change something character-wise in you. Whether you have been brought by a person to this place or if it was just the Holy Spirit that brought you here, God wants to tell you, I still want you, I still love you, and I can still use you. There's an old quote. I don't want to get it wrong, so I'm going to put my glasses on. There's an old quote from an author that says, only God can turn a mess into a message, a test into a testimony, a trial into a triumph, and a victim into a victor. That's what He means for you today. You can tell God who you are all day long. But God, I'm messed up. God, I'm broken. God, I feel like I was created this way. God, I feel like I've messed up too much in this area. And God will look at you and say, yeah, that's who you were. I want to show you who you really are and who you're going to become. Because see, when he told Peter, you are Simon, son of John. But then right behind that, He says, you will be Cephas. Can I share something with you? You're not going to be the rock automatically. It's progressive. Everything didn't change in his life like that when he started following Jesus. He still made boneheaded mistakes. That's why I think Jesus looked at me and said, you're a Simon. Because I still make boneheaded mistakes. But God still says, it's okay. I can use you. Even your mistakes I can use. Are you with me? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Again, God will always respond. When you try to tell Him who you are, God will always respond, yeah, but I know who you will be one day.
Thank you so much for joining us today, and we pray that you were blessed by the ministry of this podcast. Now, if you have any questions or comments, you can contact me personally at Pastor AaronArgo at iCloud.com. And make sure to hit the subscribe button so that you'll know when we put out a new podcast and you can join us again. And as always, please remember, you belong here.